It's amazing how often people laugh at the concept of Satan, yet the Bible tells us Satan exists and does tremendous damage to society. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
You know, while most people laugh at the idea that Satan exists, he's the one who laughs the hardest because he continues to destroy society by littering his name, his ideas, and his presence throughout global culture. Unabated. He is kept on a leash only by God. He has done everything except appear visibly and announce that he exists in his original innate state. The Bible tells us, as I mentioned last time, that, you know, Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. But what does he really look like? What does he really feel like? I'm not sure anybody knows, although that's possible. You know, he remains cloaked in invisibility, and that, I think, is his greatest weapon. His narcissism will not allow him to remain cloaked in invisibility forever. There will come a time on this earth where I believe he will exist through another. We call him the Antichrist. I believe that he will be Satan's spiritual son. And the Bible tells us in Revelation that Satan will fully empower this individual. In essence, he will be so closely aligned with Satan that there will be very little difference in thoughts and actions and words. He will do things leading up to that point that will cause people to know he exists, either consciously or unconsciously. And because of his tremendous ego, I believe he works tirelessly toward the day when he will rule the world and when he thinks he's going to dethrone God. Well, of course, he's going to rule the world for a while because I believe that's what the Bible tells us during the 7-year period known as the tribulation / great tribulation. But as far as removing God from his rightful throne, well, that's laughable. Psalm 2, God laughs. You know, as time has progressed from Madame Blavatsky and Alice A. Bailey, individuals I've previously mentioned in this series who were deeply devoted to, unknowingly, to Satan through the Theosophical Society, since the time that their writings, their esoteric writings, have been introduced to the world, a good deal has changed. Now, decades ago, when these two women lived, the ideas that they propagated through their writings, those ideas were read and embraced by a much smaller group than exists today. But today, millions and millions of individuals have little problem, if any, adopting aspects of their writings. In fact, what started off with Madame Blavatsky and the torch was passed to Alice A. Bailey, it ultimately became what we call the New Age movement. And the New Age movement talks in ethereal positivisms, where we're taught to simply recognize that we are our own God and that we control our own lives. And in co-opting together with other people who believe the same thing, we will eventually control this planet and the universe. It has become so popular today that to talk of Alice A. Bailey as an occultist does not even raise an eyebrow for most people, because people today think New Age. That's all harmless. No negativity, I should say. It's not harmless. It has great power to change. But what was certainly shocking generations ago is very, very common today. Now, previously we talked about Satan, a bit of his origins, and his overall demeanor and attitude toward this world and the people who live here, as well as his attitude toward God. We talked about the fact that he has literally permeated society with his name. And at this point in time, he does not even really care that for many, awareness of him may be relegated to the subconscious. He knows He knows that there will be a time when all will worship him, as I mentioned at the beginning of this audio episode, and they will do so through his incarnate son, the Antichrist, even though it's going to be extremely short-lived, 7 years. But see, Satan has also worked very hard to desensitize society to his thoughts, teachings, and ideas through many venues. Of course, his teachings and ideas first came to the fore in modern times through the aforementioned Blavatsky and Bailey. Now, in those days, things were discussed privately, behind closed doors, in secret, for fear of reprisals. No one wanted to have to deal with being called a witch then, in the late 1800s. Better to remain sequestered behind closed doors so that people would not really know what went on there unless they were believers themselves of the same thing. Now, because of the severe strain of egomania that is part of Satan's makeup, there's no way on earth that he would allow that to remain as it was. So ways to incorporate his teachings throughout society would need to be determined. And we've talked about some of these things before, but it is important and necessary to present them here as well. We are going to finish this series by discussing a number of areas in which Satan's ideology has become the norm for much of society. How has that happened? Well, many would not openly attend a satanic mass. It's usually done indoors or very late at night in the woods. In order for Satan to broadcast his particular perspective, it would have to be done very surreptitiously, subconsciously, in terms that seemed to be fairly innocuous to the average person. Now, if that same average person got wind of the idea that they were in fact worshiping Satan, I think many would run. They'd close the door tightly behind them. In light of that, Satan carefully considered a plan to bring his ideas to fruition, so that it would simply one day appear that they had always been part of society. And this has been done through a number of venues that we're going to consider. Number one, the New Age movement, including the books and workshops. Two, Hollywood, including TVs, movies, and games. Three, the record industry. Four, the news media, including the internet. Five, aliens, which is what this whole series is about. Now, as I'm going to hopefully show, a number of these areas overlap, and in some sense, it's difficult to know sometimes when one ends and another begins. Regardless, it's important to note that Satan has successfully impacted the whole of society by simply taking control of the above areas that I mentioned. People have literally been brainwashed over time because of the constant repetition of Satan's party line, in which he lies and filth are broadcast. So his lies and filth that he generates through human beings are broadcast openly. Think about the fact that 20 or 30 years ago, pornography was pretty much in the closet. If someone wanted pornography, they had to go to some store where they could watch peep shows in a private booth. It was also rare to see more than a breast or two. In many movies, full frontal nudity was not shown unless the movie was an X-rated movie. R-rated movies then, 20, 30 years ago, didn't really show a great deal. But over time, it became more acceptable to show more, including simulated coitus. And the reason for this is very simple. The internet created the opportunity for people to watch porn in the privacy of their own homes, and they did not have to go sneaking out to a porn store. The other reason porn took off and slowly became more mainstream is simply due to the fact that people got tired of the same thing. It became boring, the R-rated movies then. So they pushed the envelope a bit to the next level. That's what always happens. You may love pizza, but eat pizza every day for a month and you'll be pretty sick of it. You'll want something new. You'll want something else. This is exactly the way drugs work also. Studies have shown that many addicts have been created from the recreational use of marijuana. Not all, but a good portion. Some say the activity over time can become stale, so they want to increase the level of excitement, And to do this, a more powerful drug needs to be ingested, or the body won't recognize the difference. And it's the same with food, as I mentioned. This is the way humanity is. And it's largely due, I believe, to our fallen nature. We become tired of the same old thing, so we want to push it up a notch. At the same time, there have been elements in society who have helped by condemning those who complain about pornography. We're told that if we don't like it, don't look at it. You know, as if we spend our time looking at it. We know what it does to people. We know how it devalues the human body, especially the female body. And basically, as Paul tells us in Romans 1, reduces humanity to something that's simply worshipped because of the outward expression. We know the dangers of pornography on the mind of the average person, yet instead of recognizing that, people scream, hey, it's freedom of expression, freedom of art, leave us alone. Well, the entertainment industry has played a huge part in changing the way society sees things like sexual mores. When I was in high school, yes, girls wore miniskirts. It happened to be the time when that was acceptable, I guess. But if you compare that with the way people dress today, my goodness, there are many cases where there's not even a modicum of decency. It's as if anything goes. Look at the way people talk these days. The F-bomb word is normal. Attitudes of respect are severely lacking. We've seen a tremendous change in the way people act and speak in our society. Movies and television, I believe, have brought this about. Hollywood has always argued that they have simply reflected the values of society. This is simply not true. It's nonsense. They have been on the forefront of changing those values to make them more acceptable so that they can push the envelope more and more. Ultimately, they wish to create a society which reflects the values, or lack of them, of Hollywood. And Hollywood wants to destroy any sense of Christian values or mores, replacing them with relativity, political correctness, values that can and do change depending upon the situation. Christian values are absolute, and fewer people want to deal with those. Again, just go back to Romans 1 and read that entire chapter about how people kept pushing God away, away, away. And eventually, he threw them over to themselves. And following that throwing over, for the rest of the chapter, Romans 1, we read about how debased they became. God does that to people who consistently and continually reject them. But people in society want relative values and relative truth every time, because that allows them to respond to a given situation in a way they see fit, in a way in which their emotions guide them, not the way that God tells them they should respond in spite of emotions. The movie industry has been leading the charge to eradicate and replace Christian values with values that are susceptible to the changing mores and outlook in society. And it amazes me how movies have changed over the past several decades. When I watch a show from when I was a kid, the difference in that and today's shows is stark. Today's shows are grittier, unquestionably sexual, with a moving palette of ethics. Most often, the dad is a moron. The kids know infinitely more than he does, as does the wife. They put up with dad because he's dad, and in some sense, they kind of feel sorry for dad. This is the way it's been going in society. Family Guy, remember that show? It's still on. I think in some ways it started it. Seemed okay to watch at the beginning. It wasn't long, though, before just about everything in the show became laced with sexual innuendo. In fact, much of it was not even innuendo, but outright statement. And Peter, the main character, is literally a moron. Well, we're going to continue talking about this stuff because we're not done yet. There's a lot to cover. But I really do appreciate the fact that you've spent your time with me, and I pray that until we meet again, that God will open your eyes to the truth of his word and what we see in society, and may he show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.